Let's turn together in our Bibles, turning together to read the words we just sang together. Turning to Psalm 19, we'll also be looking at Belgic Confession Article 2, just by way of a summary and a reminder. The Belgic Confession is given to us as a summary of these things being received as God's people, to be a faithful summary of what God's Word teaches us. And with Article 2, we're going to be reading the means by which we know God. So last time with Article 1, that there is a God and what God is like. Article 2 is that God is not only present, powerful, but he is knowable and has revealed himself to us. So let's read from Psalm 19. Psalm 19 is found on page 538. Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, is the subtitle. To the choir master, a psalm of David. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. As far as reading from Psalm 19, then, if you'd like to follow along, we're going to be reading from Belgic Confession Article 2. Belgic Confession Article 2, this is found on page 855 in the back of our Trinity songbooks. Belgic Confession Article 2, 855, the means by which we know God. We know him by two means. First, by the creation, preservation, and government of the universe, since that universe is before our eyes like a beautiful book in which all creatures, great and small, are as letters to make us ponder the invisible things of God, his eternal power, and his divinity, as the Apostle Paul says in Romans 1, verse 20. All these things are enough to convict men and to leave them without excuse. Second, he makes himself known to us more openly by his holy and divine word, as much as we need in this life for his glory and for the salvation of his own. And that's as far as reading in the Belgic. We pray for the blessing of our God on the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how do we know that God is? Or how do we know what God is like? Children, imagine for a moment you go to school tomorrow and your teacher tells you, you need to do a book report on a famous architect. Well, if you're going to do a book report on a famous architect, how are you going to learn about this particular person? How are you going to do your research? Well, if you want to see what this person was like, you could go and see the buildings that he had constructed. You could walk through this grand, marvelous architect that he had performed, and you would learn something about this particular person. But in addition to looking at the products of his hands, the thing that he has made, imagine that this architect also wrote an autobiography. Now, the question is this: would you learn more about this person from the autobiography that he has written or from the architect of the buildings that he constructed? Well, in a similar way, we are going to see God is knowable, and he has revealed himself in two ways. He's revealed himself by his works, the things that he has constructed, but he has also revealed himself more fully and perfectly in his word. This week, we look at the ways in which God is known. Creation is like a building, and God is the architect. So we do learn about God as we look at creation. But he has also given us a book. And in that book, God has said, this is who I am, and this is what I am like. So today we are going to look at this theme. Jesus Christ reveals the God who can be known by his work and by his word. Jesus Christ reveals that God can be known by his work and by his word. To begin then, we start in our first point with what is called general revelation. Our article says that creation is a most elegant book. It's a book that's been formed, fashioned by the hands of our God. Creation is a beautiful book. In its bold contrast and striking color, creation says something. Article 2 puts it that we can know God by the creation, preservation, and government of the universe. So God not only formed everything, he continues to hold all things together. Here we see a very clear denial of a deism where they would say God is winding up the world like a clock and puts it on a shelf in order for it to run its own way. No, God continues to hold together that which he has made. Psalm 19 puts it like this: the heavens declare the glory of God. The sky proclaims his handiwork. So creation is a faithful preacher. And what creation preaches is this: God is a God who is present and he is powerful. Now, what mankind attributes to evolution and the law of nature is here presented as a clear and concise testimony of God. This language is universal, and it can be heard, it can be read, it can be seen by all. It is spoken in a tongue that is clear so that everyone should be able to hear. Psalm 19, verse 2. Day to day and night after night reveals this knowledge. The speech that creation gives is a speech that is consistent and is constant. Creation is never quiet. It goes out and is heard, seen by all. As verse 3 through 4 continues, there is no part of creation that is not declaring, just as there is no part of creation that is not touched by the sun, so it is. As a bridegroom going forth eager every day, creation goes forth eagerly declaring, God is God, and God is powerful. No one can claim that they have not heard, that they have not seen. The sun rises on both the just and the unjust. No nation is spared. No people is robbed of this testimony. Now we know that the message, the content of the sermon is limited. We'll find that in a few moments. But let that limitation not blind us to the beauty and diversity of creation. The message is clear. There is a God, and this God is powerful. Now, I want to pause just for a moment to apply this. It would do us all much good to spend more time in creation, to spend time listening, pondering, remembering, feeling, seeing the great things that God has made. I know that when you turn on the news, it tends to be bad news and it's discouraging, and you go watch the news before you go to bed and you're depressed and all the bad things that are happening. And yes, it is true. This world is not as it once was. There are floods and fires and famines and earthquakes and tornadoes. Our world is in the pain of labor, eagerly longing for the sons of God to be revealed, longing for Jesus Christ to come back and make everything right and new. But the fact remains, and our Belgic Confession Article 2 makes this clear, creation is the handiwork of God and still teaches us about who God is. If we were to go outside and go for a walk in the forest, seeing the cold grip of winter broken by the soft heat of spring, to see the frozen, barren dirt pushed aside as the little daffodils, crocus, and snowdrops push their head up, making an appearance. This is good for the soul and good for Christians to remember that God is still God and He is the ruler yet, that He made all these things and He sustains all things. Season after season, day after day, as one season transitions to the next, as the sun rises and sets each day, as the oceans remain within their bank, God is the ruler yet. But God not only made all things and sustains all things, He governs over all things. Specifically through Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, there is someone who is ruling and reigning over all things, including creation. So we are reminded that God is God, He is powerful, and His order is on display. But as good and wonderful as it is, and as fruitful as it is for us to go outside and ponder the Maker as we look at the works of His hands, the message that creation speaks remains limited. Creation's sermon tells us that God is, that there is a God, and that God is powerful. Belgic Confession Article 2 says the eternal power and deity of God is put on display. So general revelation, creation, is sufficient to prove that God is and to prove that God is powerful, but what creation cannot do is tell us about redemption. There is no gospel, good news, found in the works of this world. The words of creation are sufficient to leave us without an excuse, and that's what we read in Romans chapter 1, because everyone can see that there is a God, and this God is powerful and should be worshipped, so we are all left without an excuse. But the sermon of creation is limited in its scope and content. We find this in Psalm 19, verse 1, when creation declares the glory of God. The word for God there is Elohim, meaning that the God of creation is the God who is powerful, the God who is mighty, the God who is strong and able. He is knowable, but we do not read the name of the Lord God, the covenantal God, the God who saves. We find this applied in Romans 1, verse 18. Creation only serves to condemn, to leave us without an excuse, as the wrath of God is clearly revealed. So although creation is clear and concise, its voice going out to all people at all places, sinful man refuses to hear and refuses to believe and cannot see what God is saying, cannot hear His words. Instead, what man does as he sees creation, instead of seeing creation as the work of the Creator, what man does is turns to creation and worships creation itself. That's what Romans 1 verse 25 says. Man worships creation, not the Creator. This is a great injustice and stirs up the wrath of God. When you look at the idols, the different things that have been worshipped by man, all of these are byproducts of God's work. So even the pleasurable things that we enjoy, the blessings that God has given to us, when these are turned into idols, false gods, they are in fact supplanting the only true God who is to be worshipped and forever praised. Man in his sin refuses to see and to believe. It is like the blind man who says that the sun does not shine. So the blind man closes his eyes, saying that he cannot see. Man born in sin is blind, but man in his rebellion closes his eyes. In this way, man is twice dead, both unable and unwilling to see the truth. By reason of his inability and rebellion, he refuses to and cannot see. That, however, does not give him an excuse, because the sun still shines, even if sinful, rebellious man refuses to acknowledge it. So fallen, rebellious man says, "There is no God," like the fool from Psalm 53. What we need is the eyes of faith. What we need is an added message and ability to acknowledge what is true. So general revelation preaches the truth. There is a God, and this God is powerful. Left without an excuse, man needs, because of our sin, we need an added message and a greater ability. This added revelation and ability will then help man to see what is true, to honor God, and to worship him by giving him the thanks for the things that he has made. So now that we've considered general revelation, we now proceed to special revelation. In addition to creation, our God has given us his very word. The Bible in Belgic Confession Article 22 is considered the most elegant book written by the finger of God. In our second point, then, we see that God has given to us not only creation to tell us that he is God and he is powerful, but he also gives us his word so that we can learn about him from our Article 2, learn about him more fully and openly to clearly know him in his word. So yes, creation speaks the truth, but what creation speaks is a limited, brief sermon. The Bible, as a special revelation, is more fulsome and expansive. God has revealed himself as the one who is and the one who can be known. His word, the scriptures, are like a love letter of sorts, telling us that God is and what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. Instead of reading from Psalm 19, verse 7, that there is a God, Elohim, the creator God, what in verse 7 we find the specific covenantal name of the Lord. So in verse 1, we find the glory of God, that there is a God, powerful God, Elohim, creator God. But in verse 7, we find the Lord, the covenantal, the Yahweh God. Again, in verse 14, he is the Lord, our rock and our redeemer. What you will not find in creation is a revelation that tells us the name of the Lord, Yahweh. It is by special revelation. Even as Moses said, "What is your name? What am I to tell the Israelites?" And the Lord said, the Lord, slow to anger and abounding in love." So the content of God's word in special revelation is more expansive, and it is also decidedly more gracious. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of God is perfect. It revives the soul. It makes one wise. It rejoices the heart and enlightens the eye. What does the law of God do? It exposes our sin, revealing our need for a Savior. And then as our psalm concludes, he is also our rock and our redeemer. So in the words of the scriptures, we find not only a warning and an exposing of our sin, but we also find the solution to our sin. If creation leaves us without an excuse, telling us that we deserve the wrath and condemnation of God because he is revealed, he is knowable, and should be worshipped, it is not in creation, but it is in special revelation in his word that we find the way to escape the wrath that we deserve. To put this another way, the specific name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, his person and his work, is found in the scriptures and is not found in creation. That is why we need the added revelation, special revelation. When I was in high school, I had a coworker that worked with me, and this coworker would say to me, after we'd talk about where we were on this past week, and on Monday, I'd ask him if he had been to church, and he would say, "You know, Nick, my church is the park. Every Sunday afternoon, I go for a walk in the park. My church is creation. The reason he didn't go to church is because for him, creation was the church that he preferred. The problem is that no walk in the park will ever reveal the name of Jesus Christ. No walk in the park will make it clear that by faith in the name of Jesus Christ will you be saved. There's only one name given under heaven by which we can be saved, and that name is made known in God's word and not in creation. So this man, my coworker, chose what he enjoyed over what he truly needed. Yes, creation is clear and concise, but it is limited. And that's why we speak about the necessity of Scripture. Article 2 says he makes himself known in his word as far as is necessary for us to know in this life so that God would be glorified and we would be saved. So in order for God to be glorified and us to be saved, we need the special revelation of his word. Everything that you need to know for your salvation is here contained. Now, to be sure, the Bible doesn't answer every single question that we can ever have, but what we do have is sufficient so that what we need to know is here contained. The Bible is also clear. The way to salvation is not hidden or secret. It clearly reveals the simple solution to our sins, and that is found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. You see, brothers and sisters, God is not the unknowable God, as the men of Athens assumed in Acts 17. He is clearly knowable, and he has proclaimed and revealed to us, "This is who I am. I am the Lord your God, and I save you from your sins." Added to this, creation by itself will only confuse us if we do not have God's word to help us interpret it. The Bible serves as a manual that helps us understand creation. Man in his sin confuses what God has revealed even in creation. So the Bible helps us even understand creation itself. Calvin puts it like this. He was known for saying, "The scriptures, the Bible, serves as glasses, spectacles, through which we can perceive and understand creation clearly." So if we want to understand what creation is, because of our sins, because of our sinful rebellion, we need the Bible to clearly enable us to know creation's purpose and use. So we put on the glasses of Scripture, by which we are enabled to see creation in the proper way, to see how we are to even use creation for the glory of our God. Then this world around us is put in its proper place, not something to be idolized, not something to be worshipped, but something that declares the glory of our God. Perhaps I can illustrate it this way. Children, have you ever tried to watch a 3D movie and you take off those special sunglasses, those dark sunglasses? If you try to watch that movie without those special glasses on, that 3D picture becomes all fuzzy and blurred. And that's what creation is like if you look at it apart from Scripture. But with a Bible in hand, this world comes into all its beauty. And we can understand that this world is made to point us to our God so that we would give him the glory that he deserves. To conclude, general revelation forms the background and foundation upon which special revelation is built. We need to be brought forth in creation before our hands can receive and our minds can understand this sacred book. But it is also true that only with the aid of special revelation, with the aid of Scripture, that we're able to rightly understand and see creation as we ought. Creation convicts, but it does not convert. Praise God that we have what is necessary for our salvation revealed in God's word. As our theme states, Jesus Christ reveals the God who can be known by his work and by his word. So as we go into this world before us, Let us walk through creation with a Bible in our hand, receiving this revelation from God, using it properly, so that God would be glorified and that we would know how we can be saved. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the beauty of creation, acknowledging that this is the world that you have made. And we thank you for the depth of your word, so that we can know who you are as the creator, but more than that, even as our savior, our redeemer, and our rock. We pray, Lord, that in this week to come, we would see you in everything, in creation, and even in your word more clearly, that we would respond as we ought, glorifying you and acknowledging your presence and work in all things. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.